Let me start by saying that this is June the 7th, and this is our ABF Women Helping Women for the recording. And so let me pray as we begin. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these exhortations in Colossians 3. And we thank you, Lord, for the peace of Christ and for your true living and active word. Lord, help us today. Teach us. May we encourage one another. In Jesus' name, amen. I have two close friends right now, strong sisters in Christ, who are walking through some really difficult situations. And just thinking about them in the context of this lesson, and both of them in great adversity are letting the peace of Christ rule in their hearts, and they're letting the Word of God dwell in them richly. And it's really, they're standing strong and moving through that. So just made me think about that. I want to give a quick review of what we've, like my cliff notes from what we've learned through this Paul David Tripp study. Remember that first week, it was Mark 6 when Jesus walked on the water, but it was that first week was really about the storm, and Jesus made them go into that boat. It's a situation that he put them in that storm. So we talked about the transforming grace of refinement. We talked about the uncomfortable forms of grace that God sends to us to use in our spiritual growth, in our transformation into being more like him. We talked about the importance of how we respond, and that went into the next second week, the disciples' response, that same story in Mark 6 of panic. But Paul David Tripp assured us that we do not endure the storms of life by ourselves. We have been invaded by the great I Am. I really like that terminology. The third week was part one of Psalm 27 about the reality of the Psalms, the honesty of the Psalms. And he said that the cross allows us to be the most honest community in the world. We can do that with each other. We can do that before the Lord. And he also said, you are the most influential person in your life. And that's the good news and the bad news. The fourth week, once again, about Psalm 27, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and viewing our troubles through looking up to his glory and his beauty. Then last week, Colossians 3, we'll be back there this week for verses 15 through 17. That especially picked out wardrobe that we looked at. And we're not just recipients of grace, we are ambassadors for Christ. And Paul David Tripp says, no one gives grace better than someone in need of it. And we all know that we all need it. So we'll watch the video now, and then we'll continue our discussion. Okay. All right. That is really good teaching. Like, what else do we need to say to that? But let's do focus on the centrality of God's peace and his word. And I'd like to read Colossians 3, 15 through 17 from the Message, from a paraphrase. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense, and sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master, Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Love that. And then I have a little New Testament that It's from an antique store, Moffat translation, and his translation is, "Let the peace of Christ be supreme within your hearts. Let the inspiration of Christ dwell in your midst with all its wealth of wisdom." So I love those different words for this same very familiar passage for us. Let's turn to Colossians 3, verse 15. One thing I noticed here is at the end of the 15 and 16, it's almost like a refrain. "And be thankful." And what's it say in verse 16? "With thankfulness in your hearts to God." That should always be our refrain, is to be thankful as we go through the storms of life. Verse 15, the peace of Christ should rule in our hearts. You know, the peace of Christ is that gift that Jesus gave us. "My peace I give to you." That's what he left for us through his presence and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How does the world seek to give us peace? Alcohol and other substances, material possessions. There's always something new and better and different. Yeah, even our homes can do that. Yeah, be our identity and our security. Mm-hmm. What else from outside gives us peace? Maybe friends or a certain group of friends that you'd like to be identified with, or a counselor that's not giving biblical counseling. Yeah, okay. All right. Scripture says here, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to permit it to happen, to cause it to happen, to let it happen. That's not easy. Even this morning, my daily readings, there's a psalm every Sunday, and this morning it was Psalm 40, and stuck together. And I was thinking about how we let that happen. Let me read the first few verses of Psalm 40. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." So I thought about letting peace happen is waiting for him, not trying to be an owner like Paul David Tripp has been saying, but letting him, the one who's sovereign and the one who is actually in control, let him be at work and wait for him and see what happens and then move forward. What are some of the daily steps that we can take to let peace happen? Yes, Sherry. Okay, thankfulness and gratitude. Just this refrain that it says. Be available and willing. Yes, thank you. It's almost a little bit humorous to me, Romans 12:18. "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." We could all talk about a situation where it's really hard to be a peacemaker or to respond in a gracious, peaceful way. We all have those situations. I read this week, peace is not just the absence of external conflict, but it's an unshakable inner posture. When we're trusting in him, standing on his word. Time is short. Verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it take up residence in a prominent place in my life." So how can we do this? What do you do with your sermon notes after Sunday morning?
Study them. Usually become my Monday morning devotion.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea, to let them become a Monday morning devotion. I actually recopy mine and kind of think about them in context of my own life. So I think that helps me remember it better if I recopy it. I realized several years ago, like I would have my reading in the morning, and then I'd, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, what was it I read this morning? So I tried to at least look at it again and think about it. Good idea to leave your Bible open so you see it during the day. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. What about journaling? I confess this is something I'm not good at doing, and I think I'm going to go write that down. When, like this morning, when Psalm 40, it just seemed to be so appropriate for the context of this lesson. Looking back over those notes can be a real encouragement later when you need it. Do you bring the needs that you have in your life to your study time? I think sometimes it's easy to say, oh, okay, I'm using this like through the Bible in a year, kind of hit the highlights material. And I read a little bit in Joel this week. Okay, yeah, it's nice to read in Joel every now and then, but do I really ask the Lord to speak to me through that? And do I bring my specific needs to Him and say, Lord, this is my need, and will you teach me from what I have before me today? The rest of verse 16 is very familiar to us. We talk about this a lot here, about the richness of singing together and how we should be singing to each other. Carly's doing a yay back there. But how do you use music in your quiet time, privately, personally? What'd you say?
Always,
okay,
always.
Yeah. Want to give good commercial, Carly, for the hymn book?
Yes. The same hymnal is full.
Yeah. So for the purpose of the recording, Carly's talking about the great value of the hymn book, of our new hymn book, being so devotional and so good for private study. Yes, April. Okay, so one person has said can't have lyrics when she's reading the Bible, just needs to be instrumental. But one person is saying yes, it helps her to listen to Scripture musically being sung, and that helps it to dwell richly within her. You know, the hymn book has in the back an index. You can look up, if you like, look up Colossians 3:15 and look at the hymns that they referenced for that scripture. That's a good exercise to go back to a familiar hymn and say, oh yeah, see how it relates to God's word. We'll move on to verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, no matter what it is. Whether you're waiting in line, dealing with a child's temper tantrum, seeking to resolve a conflict with your spouse, or dealing with disappointment or frustration, what does it mean to do it in His name? I guess it means to remember who He is and to acknowledge His authority. Like Paul David Tripp said, this is the life we've been called to. There's no greater privilege than what we can do as we live for Him. So what did He say qualified us to help each other to be ministers and to be ambassadors? What's the qualification necessary to do ministry? Grace. And He also said it's Christ. It's His example. It's His person. It's who He is. I'm going to be careful with our time. Any further comments or thoughts about the whole study? I thank y'all for hanging in there. They're good videos, really good teaching. And you can access these if you go to his website. It's a little different titles and things, but they are on his website. So if you want to rewatch something, you can. But thank you for your attention and your patience, and I'll close this in prayer. Lord, we need your help to be ambassadors for Christ, to help each other, to counsel each other, to teach each other. Lord, we need your help as we wait for your perfect will to happen. Lord, help us. We know we can trust in you. Thank you for the richness of the word. Thank you for your peace, which passes all understanding. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. And Lord, I do thank you in this church, the way that we do minister to each other and the great community that we have here. Lord, we are so blessed. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.